State Employees Association President, Executive Director Rich Gulla joining us. We just had Governor Kelly Ayotte in our studios talking about the state budget. And I believe Rich is joining us. Good morning, New Hampshire, the Pulse of an Age. Continuing concern about the retirement side of this budget that passed, the negotiators in the House and Senate scheduled for a 4 vote, but obviously Governor Kelly Ayotte is adamantly opposed to what was passed. Rich, thanks for being back with us.
Hey, Jack, thanks for having me. I'm the president of the State Employees Association, and we're one of the largest labor unions in the state, and we also represent, obviously, corrections officers the supervisors at the state facility, as well as nurses, civilian staff. But we also represent, you may not know, police officers. For example, Bedford Police Department, Littleton Police Department, Stratford County sheriffs, as well as corrections. So we have a vested interest in this. And quite frankly, in my 11 years of being head of this organization and watching five cycles at the legislature, I have never seen a committee of conference vote against what both houses chambers voted for. And this backroom deal that happened at the 11th hour and 59th minute really is detrimental to the citizens of the state of New Hampshire. I was a police officer back in the late 80s, early 90s. And if you wanted to be a state trooper, Jack, you were on a waiting list of hundreds.
Right.
And
right.
Today we have 57 vacancies.
Yeah.
Corrections, there's a 46% vacancy rate at corrections. So what's going on here, it boggles my mind. And the stress that this is causing people who work, especially at some of my corrections officers, is just deplorable. And it's mind-boggling, Jack.
Rich, you mentioned your role as president of the state employees. How many roughly members do you have?
We roughly have between 10 and 12,000 members.
Okay, now do you support the governor and what she just said and how concerned and not happy she is, and she'll veto this budget and work on a continuing resolution to fund the retirement? Do you support the governor, or do you think she's overreacting?
No, I support the governor. Here's the deal. We had a seat at the table with the governor. We worked hand in hand with her and her team through this whole process up until that backroom deal went down at the committee of conference where we were shut out. Nobody talked to us. Nobody, sought any advice or counsel from us on how this was going to impact. Again, mind-boggling.
So again, well, it's interesting. And do you agree with the governor when she went through some of these departments of the retirements and the exodus? We could see if this budget were to pass, not fully funding this. Do you agree with these numbers that we could see losses with recruitment challenges as well, as big as what she was saying?
Yeah, I do agree with it. As I said, I do think there could be mass exoduses, and we're having a problem now filling positions. Stunts like this, quite honestly, give the appearance that the state of New Hampshire isn't a good place to go work for, because they're going to change the deal on you. And the legislative budget office, Michael Caine, had put out a statement that the budget was going to end, this biennium that they're working on now, would end with a $20 million surplus and an additional $272 million to the rainy day fund. There's money there to do this. The governor, talked about gambling. She's put in areas to support this. I don't understand. Many of these first responders are former veterans. They're our neighbors. And they're there to save your life when you're in need.
Mm-hmm.
Why are we treating these people this way?
Rich, I look at real estate in New Hampshire. We have an affordable housing crisis, as you well know. And when I speak with more economic type thinkers on the trends here, they say a lot of it, Jack, is we have more people moving in from other more populated states where they're not as safe, the quality of life. So a lot of people think you move here because of no income, no sales tax. I think that's a good reason. But the real reason, they tell me, is public safety. Families are relocating to New Hampshire. Southern Maine because their kids can safely walk to the school bus. They feel safe in their community. They can go to the park. They can have events. It's a safe quality of life. And I think a lot, I think most all that has to do with public safety and our first responders. Do you agree?
I do agree with that.
Yeah.
Yes.
All right. Well, thank you.
Yeah.
Keep in touch with
really
the show. No, go ahead.
No, I'm sorry. I said we've got a really lot of good people that dedicate their lives to public service and are there when your life is in danger. You know, that 911 operator, when you're in need, if you've got a family member that's in crisis, picking up that phone and making sure that someone's going to be there to help you, these are not the people to be toying with.
Yeah.
These are our neighbors and our citizens and veterans that do this work.
Well, it seems to me, Rich Gowell with the State Employees Association president, that Governor Ayotte is pretty much made up her mind. If this budget as is hits her desk, it's vetoed. And imagine it will go to a continuing resolution to work on funding. Is your hope then that the retirement is, the governor says the money can be there. Do you think it will be?
I do think it will be. I think it is there, as I stated. And if the legislature doesn't do the right thing, then we'll work with the governor and others to hopefully, make the
correct.
This wrong a right again.
All right. Thank you, Rich. Please keep in touch with the show. Thanks for checking in. Rich Gowell, State Employees Association President. Thank you.
Hey, Jack.
Good morning, New Hampshire, live from the Outdoor Pride Studios. Outdoor Pride is the Granite State's largest landscape and snow management firm, proudly serving commercial properties from Greater Manchester to Greater Boston. Visit them online at OutdoorPride.com. Now, back to Jack Heath on the Pulse of New Hampshire.
All right, we'll have the latest on the Middle East and some news, and of course, President Trump at that NATO summit in the Netherlands. A lot going on globally. We'll come back to that. Locally, we just had Governor Kelly Ayotte further express her real concerns, actually not sounding happy at all about what the negotiators in the Senate and House passed for a budget, to propose two-year budget for New Hampshire. Governor Kelly Ayotte not happy, particularly two points. The retirement system needing to be more funded to retain first responders, and we're going to hear from the firefighters in a moment, and Manchester, the state's largest city, concerns about cuts there. And Manchester Mayor Jay Rue joining us now live, the state's largest city here in New Hampshire, reacting to the governor's concern over what passed. Good morning, Mr. Mayor.
Morning, Jack. How are we doing?
Good, thanks. Amplify, do you concur with the governor, or what are your thoughts about the two-year budget, $15.6 billion that passed the House and Senate negotiation process as it pertains to Manchester? What are your thoughts or concerns?
Sure. Now, I share the governor's concerns, particularly on the Group 2 pension and more specifically as well on the $12.5 million reduction in education funding to the city of Manchester. I would totally align myself with her comments in the previous segment. And I appreciate the governor continuing to talk about the impact that this would have on our city.
Were you surprised when you heard about this budget that passed and what it meant for Manchester?
Well, I think when I look at the education funding specifically, because I've seen this in a few different places where people have said Manchester is getting more money, not less. And that's why I put out a letter last week that I think had some important clarification in here. The state of New Hampshire obviously operates off of a two-year budget. We in Manchester operate off of an annual budget. So, and this is what the governor was talking about. In year one, the city of Manchester will get $127 million, roughly, from the state of New Hampshire for education. In year two, we will get $115 million. That is a $12.5 million cut that we will be receiving in FY27. We will have $12.5 million less when we go to construct our budget. So just to put that into a little bit of perspective, this year we gave the school district an additional $3.5 million, but we reduced their request by $8 million. And we had to eliminate 28 funded vacancies to make sure that we were meeting that. So roughly every $1 million that we lose, we will lose about 15 to 17 positions. And that's where the governor was talking about, this could impact Manchester to the tune of 100, 150 teachers and other school district administrators as well. This would be very harmful to our city. Building off of what the governor talked about with Group 2, she listed the numbers for Nashua, and I was speaking with our fire chief the other day. You know, we're looking at potentially, if this were to pass, potentially losing 27 senior firefighters here who combined have a total of 675 years of experience.
I want to come
be the same kind of thing in our police department.
I want to come back to that last point you made, Manchester Mayor Jay Rouet, on Manchester. Do you are concerned? You think the number could be close to 30 senior members in the fire department alone if this budget were to go as is in terms of the retirement hole? Or you think that it could be that high?
That's absolutely correct. That's the number that talking about with our fire chief.
What impact would that have on public safety and quality of life in Manchester?
I mean, it would be extraordinarily dangerous for us here in the city. I mean, so our firefighters, you know, I talk about this a lot, but our firefighters aren't just responding to fires. This is a much broader department than historically we, may consider or think about when we think about firefighting. But they have a swift water rescue team, so they're pulling people out of the water here.
Countless medical calls and emergencies for EMTs and firefighters.
So that's probably the biggest thing that they do is those medical emergencies. We have a team here in the city, Squad One, and they're responding to medical emergencies throughout the city of Manchester. They're responding to individuals who are having mental health or addiction crises as well. This is so much broader than just fighting fires. As if that weren't enough, fighting fires, but they have a lot of additional responsibilities as well. And to lose, it's not just the fact that it's the number is so high, 27, but it's the experience that is there as well. So ultimately what you'll create is a bell curve. You'll have individuals who either don't have a lot of time on the job, or you're going to have individuals who have been here for an awfully long time, but you're hollowing out that middle tier of individuals that are on the ground and helping to really lead the department.
Manchester Mayor Jay Rouet. J-Dog, if you'll indulge me, Mayor, do we have the firefighters on as well, J-Dog? Can we bring them in with the mayor, or do you want to go separate, J-Dog? Okay. Who do we have on with
Opening up to you, Jay.
Let's go to the firefighters, Mr. Mayor, if you can stay with us and join us. Who do we have with the Firefighters Association?
Good morning. This is Brian Rell. I'm the president of the Professional Firefighters.
Well, first of all, on behalf of my show, thank you for what you do. Appreciate it very, very much. I've always said if you're in trouble, you want the firefighters there as well as police. You're on with the mayor of the state's largest city, Manchester, Mayor Jay Rouet, if you don't mind. And we just had Governor Kelly Ayotte in my studios here representing the firefighters. Are these numbers real if this budget were to pass? Do you think you'd see that much exodus for professional firefighters in our state and communities?
Unfortunately, the answer is yes. When we look at just the documented numbers that, for instance, the State Fire Academy has, back in prior to 2012, we had about somewhere between 500 and 600 candidates that would take the state's entrance exam to become a firefighter annually. And since 2012, they've shown in their numbers, objectively, a steady decline in those numbers. And when they looked at what the issues were for recruitment and retention around the state, they actually formed a ad hoc committee made up of a bunch of different stakeholders throughout the state, which showed consistently that the retirement system was atop those list of issues.
And are you seeing, I'm trying to think, we just had on the president of the State Employees Association, Rich Gullis, saying that, and I know this in my show, that we have more than 50 openings in the New Hampshire State Police. It used to be there'd be maybe one or two if you wanted to become a trooper. What about firefighters? Are you seeing a real challenge recruiting new firefighters, younger firefighters into the ranks?
Absolutely. We now are having to lower our hiring standards just to get someone in the door. Whereas we used to, and Manchester is a great example. Manchester used to have hundreds of firefighters or firefighter candidates. And now they even struggle to get people to take the entrance exam and to come in and get hired. We've had to lower standards throughout the state just to get people in the door and try and bring them up and train them up to get them where they are. And, you know, the firehouse is an interesting place to have some of these conversations, right? Because the firehouse kitchen table, nothing is sacred. And so we have these conversations about how people are feeling about their career trajectory and what's important to them. And consistently, it is a need to fix this retirement problem from 13 years ago.
Hmm. Well, Mr. Mayor, any comment to our head of our firefighters?
Yeah, he's 100% correct. That's the exact conversations that I've been having. I've been fortunate enough. I've done some of those dinners and coffees around the fire stations around the city here, and it's always one of the top topics of conversation. I would build off of what Brian had said. We also have 19 vacancies in our police department here, and we've taken a number of actions since I became mayor to try and address that, but a big piece of it is this retirement component, and that hurts us on retention. But I also think it hurts us on the recruiting side as well, because I think if you are sending a message that the retirement portion of this is not as big as a priority, I think that's sending a message to individuals who may want to be getting into this space that, look, you're not as appreciated down the line, or that commitment that was there is no longer there. And I think one of the important pieces that as I understand through this process, is that there was a bipartisan solution that's been agreed to. It is that there is funding available for this. So I would urge folks to get around the negotiating table again and work together to find a compromise that meets the needs of our first responders, so that we can continue to, as the governor talks about, be the safest state in the union.
Well, Brian and Mr. Mayor, thank you, Mr. Mayor. Brian, real quickly, thank you for what you do. Where are you out of? What department are you out of heading up the firefighters?
So I am in Portsmouth. I'm a fire captain in Portsmouth.
Oh, awesome. I'm over there a lot. Thank you for what. By the way, I'm going to say this. A lot of people don't realize this. And I wish more people who lived in Portsmouth, having been a resident for many years. The fire department and the police department in Portsmouth, New Hampshire, and I think they're great in Manchester, and I don't know of a community where I can't say this in the state, and I think you both agree, the level of professionalism and the quality, and Portsmouth is a great example. Everyone wants to go to Portsmouth. They want to be in Portsmouth. They want to move there. It's not a cheap place to live, obviously, and everyone loves to go downtown and all that, but it's a big community, and the fire department there is second to none, and I think the law enforcement there, I think people underestimate why people want to live in New Hampshire and go to the Seacoast. It's the quality of life, and it's a safety. And I think people better wake up and start realizing we'd have to take better care of our first responders, and that includes affordable housing, that includes benefits, that includes pay, as well as retirement. That's my opinion, but I thank you. I didn't know you were from Portsmouth. You're an awesome department. Thank you, sir.
Yeah, thank you so much for your time. And I think it's important, Jack, to know, the firefighters here, along with the police officers and corrections throughout the state, we're not looking for a dollar more than what we were promised in our retirement.
There you go.
All we're trying to do is restore what was provided to us and promised to us when we walked in the door. Some of those folks had nearly 10 years of service prior to these changes. And even with this amendment that passed the other day, we're now impacting those that were in this Tier A system that had more than 10 years of service. So not only did we not, we've missed the mark to restore benefits, but we also fell short, and now we're impacting an unintended group now.
No, it's a good way to put it. Just you want what was promised. Thank you to the fire department. Thank you, Mayor. Thank you both.
Thank you.
All right, we come back. We're going to look at the economic markets, because that's one way, fortunately or unfortunately, to measure the fallout from what happened over the weekend with the U.S. strike in New York, Iran, and the nuclear sites. When I say fallout, I mean reaction and anticipation. But the markets, for the most part, Doug Tangdon, worldmarketadvisors.com, is going to tell us, are looking through this. Right now, the latest after Operation Midnight Hammer, we are hearing that Iran is looking to mess with the Strait of Hormuz. We'll talk with Doug about that as well. And it's interesting, on political reaction, I asked Governor Ayotte point blank, where were you when you heard about the strikes, and do you support the strikes or not? And she said yes. As a former U.S. senator, she was always concerned about the Iranian nuclear threat. I want to read something that a Republican who may or may not run for the U.S. Senate, but former Senator Scott Brown, telling the show this morning, and he may check in tomorrow or this week, the fact that none of our congressional delegation has praised the amazing job our military did is insulting. He went on to say, the Democrats in our delegation are out of touch. They take their marching orders from their leaders. He mentions Chris Pappas, of course, the Democrat who's running for the U.S. Senate, first district incumbent. Chris Pappas has never made a tough decision on anything in Congress. His silence and monitoring the situation is deafening. So, Maggie Goodlander, Scott Brown says, for her to get involved in the conversation, to be critical of Donald Trump is a joke, especially because her husband spearheaded the actions under Biden as national security advisor. So a lot of, quiet on some fronts, not on others. Well, much more. Hey, Google, hey, Alexa, play the Pulse of an Age. Back in a few.
Good morning, New Hampshire, live from the Outdoor Pride Studios. Now back to Jack Heath on the Pulse of New Hampshire.
All right, well, we've already had a packed hour. The governor of the state getting a briefing from Homeland Security yesterday afternoon on any domestic terror information, possible attacks or not here in terms of cells, individual cells, also the state budget. But I want to go to Doug Tengden, worldmarketadvisors.com. Good morning, Doug.
Good morning, Jack. How are you?
Well, I'm okay, reacting to a busy Monday. I think sometimes you can look at the markets as a way to see how they're perceiving this. What are we seeing?
The markets are looking through this. They're virtually unchanged. They were down slightly last night, up slightly this morning right now. And I would say that the markets are saying, well, it really depends on what Iran's reaction is going to be. So they're saying they're going to retaliate. This is the markets are acting as if this is the same as killing Soleimani. It's not, obviously. This is a far more significant action on the U.S.'s part. But I think the markets are kind of saying, well, we don't know anything dramatically changing. Yeah, I looked this morning. Oil is actually down right now. It was up about 5%, and the oil is now down because the expectation is Iran really can't close the Straits of Hormuz. That's not really on the table.
Well, I want to talk about that because Iran, there are reports, and I think this might be just verbal stuff, because there's a difference between verbal and action, that Iran is looking to disrupt sort of the oil energy supply of the world by trying to close the Strait of Hormuz. But I don't think China would like that very much, would they?
Yeah, China wouldn't like that because they get 90% of their oil from Iran. But more significantly, the Iranian people wouldn't like that because that's where they get all their food, all their vegetable oil, all their lots and lots of fresh produce. All their imported food comes through the Straits of Hormuz. Iran doesn't really have a coastline except on the Persian Gulf. So if they close the Straits of Hormuz, they're really immiserating their own people, which they've shown a capacity to do. But
right.
I just don't think that would make a lot of sense.
Yeah, I think it might be a verbal thing, because the other thing too, we have a very strong naval presence, very much aware of that Strait of Hormuz, but I think we've reduced our dependency on that area for oil. Is that right or wrong?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, the United States is an oil exporter now. If the oil price did spike to $100 a barrel, the first response would be to drill some more in Texas and North Dakota. So that's we're essentially hedged against rising oil prices.
So at this point, Doug Tengden, worldmarketadvisors.com, the markets on a Monday morning after a precise, strategic, pretty massive strike, a successful strike, I might add, by the way, of those three nuclear sites in Iran, are looking through this for the moment, the markets.
Yeah, that's absolutely right. They're looking through this, and they're looking through what is the next shoe to drop.
Interesting.
And Iran has said they will respond, but, I don't know. I don't know what the response will be. I mean, as we're speaking, I'm looking out. I'm at Logan Airport. I'm traveling to Minneapolis to see my father. But I'm looking out at an LL airliner that's in the process of boarding. So not disrupted here.
Interesting. All right. Doug Tengden, World Market Advisors. Thank you, Doug.
Jack, you have a great week.
Coming up, more of Governor Kelly Ayotte talking about local eyes and ears on anything out of the ordinary after Homeland Security briefing. The latest on the state budget, reaction to the strike, and NATO meeting in Netherlands, and President Trump is there. Hey, Google, hey, Alexa, play the Pulse of Nature. Back in a moment.